Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The information depicted in this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine.
For all those men listening in, I have a special announcement that will give your balls goosebumps. So I don't know about you, but I get pretty sick and tired of changing my razors and trimmers to groom my body hair and my balls. So I wanted to introduce you to the new and improved Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Now, I know many guys listening into this podcast have probably seen me topless on social media, and they'll know that I'm quite a hairy dude, whether that be due to my genetics, being half Italian, half Lebanese, or because I maxed out my testosterone to 988 nanograms per deciliter. I don't really know, but the fact is that I have a lot of body hair, and it's always been a struggle for me. So the Manscaped 3.0 features a cutting-edge ceramic blade, which actually reduces the grooming accidents and has a pretty long battery life as well, lasting up to 90 minutes. It also features like a unique LED light as well, so that you don't ever like miss a patch of hair. So I'm a huge fan of the Manscaped 3.0. So I have a special discount code that you guys can use. If you go to manscaped.com, you can get 20% off plus free shipping by using my code Lucas10. That's LUCAS10. Go to manscaped.com and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping by using my discount code Lucas10.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas and I am the founder of Ergogenic Health. Together in this podcast series, we will go underground to explore cutting edge health and human performance insights that you simply cannot search on Google to help you upgrade your existence. So without any further ado, let's jump into today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today, I am joined in with Jonathan Rosalind and his wife, Giorgana, to be discussing some very novel biohacks related to a little bit different this week. We're going to be delving into some relationship and dating and some other love life hacks. So Jonathan is actually a friend of mine. I've been sort of watching his content, and he was really one of the OG biohackers back in the day. He really laid the foundations and really was inspired by his content.
very early on. So, Jonathan, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. Thanks, Lucas. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you checking out my book on this topic.
Sweet. So maybe for my listeners, majority of them probably aren't familiar with you and your story. So do you want to give people a little background into how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I have been really passionate about the biohacking and anti-aging stuff for about 9 years now. I've had this website, limitlessmindset.com, where I have about 600 articles on this topic and ton of videos and podcasts, which is how you encountered me originally. And so I wrote this book recently entitled Don't Stick Your Dick in a Blender, How to Meet a Nice Girl Instead from a Tantric Husband with a Better Sex Life Than You. And that would be me. And so I was a person that was a digital nomad dude. I lived in Colombia for 3 years, lived all over Europe doing the thing where you kind of just go to a new country or city every couple of months or every couple of days or weeks if a place ends up stinking. You know, sometimes you look up a place and you think it's going to be awesome, and then you go there and you hate it. So you hit the road again and find some place that you really vibe with. And like a lot of these kind of guys, you've probably got a lot of guys like that in your audience, I imagine.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, for sure.
So like a lot of these kind of guys, I was a nomadic seducer. I was kind of doing the pickup artist thing. I try to date women pretty much everywhere that I would go. And this was, of course, a whole lot of fun. But I've had some evolution on my kind of life philosophy on this. And so I wrote this book about how men can kind of transition from that natural drive that any, you know, red-blooded man is going to have, which is kind of to be promiscuous. And I found myself that I'm much, much more happier in being married. I've done like all of these different, all the different like hedonistic type of things that people pursue. I have like drank deeply of that particular cup. And I've done all the kinds of biohacking things where you're trying to draw happiness from within, all of these type of things. And being married makes me way more happier than anything else. And so I wrote this book sort of for men that are doing that, that are kind of pursuing happiness via trying to conquer a lot of skirts, frankly. And I'm letting them know that there's like a lot more happiness to be found actually in monogamy if they are very, very selective and rational about that.
So as I was mentioning, so, you know, the differences between monogamy and sort of polyamorous relationships, or so when did your perspective really shift in regards to like the monogamous relationship?
Okay. So there's a podcaster, you've probably seen him around on the internet, named Stefan Molyneux. And he's done a lot of good podcasts that are kind of driving home the point that your 20s and your 30s are a decade of life, particularly your 20s, where you're really kind of defining your trajectory for the rest of your life. And there is a sexual marketplace. And a sexual marketplace, you can imagine it kind of as a car lot. And you go to a car lot, and I've worked at car lots. And on the car lot, there's going to be like the really great cars, which are, you know, the nice cars that look good, that run great. And consistently, those cars get sold like really fast. they get picked right up. And then there's, and then after those are sold over a given weekend, for example, then there's going to be like pretty crappy cars that are there. And I suppose this guy, Stefan Molyneux, a philosopher, he really drove home to me this point, this a sense of urgency about trying to, that in your 20s and 30s, in your 20s and like your early to like mid 30s, early to mid 30s, maybe up to your 40s, you have like a lot of ability to get like one of the very best cars on the lot, right? Yeah. And that as the years and the decades pass, you're, even for men, even it's a little bit different for men and women, honestly, but even for men, your capacity to get like a really great woman that you're going to have all sorts of meaning with, that you're going to have a really joyful relationship with, that opportunity is like mostly focused there in your 20s and your 30s. And then once my book is for men, so I guess this is going to be kind of a male centric relevant podcast, but especially for men, like once you get into your later 30s or even your mid 30s for a lot of guys, you lose a little bit of your youthfulness. And you lose, even if you're doing a bunch of like biohacking, anti-aging stuff, your mentality shifts over time. And there's going to be like a courting a woman, having romance, starting a relationship with a woman. It requires a bit of like a bit of childishness. It requires a bit of like a playfulness. It requires a bit of like a bit of adolescent like energy. And over your 30s, a man, any man will be losing that. And so I guess it was kind of a sense of urgency, because in modernity, we are all, in the current year, we're all sold a sense of, we're also this, a sense of like boundlessness, of like limitless options. You know, guys will join a dating website, or ladies, anyone could join a dating website, and they'll see like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of little JPEGs of people that might be appealing to them. And they get kind of this, they get a sense of like abundance. They get a sense that they are like in an endless grocery store or in an endless store where they're just going to have limitless options forever. And so I guess it was kind of a sense of urgency about that changed my mentality.
Interesting. So I'd love to have a little discussion around how, because I know you mentioned this in your book, sort of how online dating has changed the dynamics significantly. So let's sort of touch on how online dating has been, like how it's changed and how potentially like it can be both beneficial and you know, negative.
Yeah. Are you doing it?
Well, I've downloaded Tinder and deleted the app numerous times.
right.
Purely because it's not very beneficial in my opinion.
Purely because I honestly think that like you have to pay to actually get seen, and they will only reward the guys that, yeah, I feel like it's, you know, it's a bit challenging in that sense. But I mean, like, honestly, I've actually tended to lean towards other ways of gaining attention, and that is actually through Instagram direct messages.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of online dating. I did a chapter in my book eviscerating online dating because it's so bad on so many different levels. In fact, I'd like to share a statistic with you, sure, with everyone. So this was a statistic that came from some research. It was from the Statistic Brain Institute that was collating a couple of studies done with college students. And I found this to be I found these two to be really shocking stats. So a third of women meeting guys online have had sex on the first date with an online match, which I guess is kind of, it's good news, like, if you just want to get laid, but, like, if you want to meet, like, a girl that's, like, relatively conservative, that isn't, like, sleeping with other, with every other guy she's going on a date with, it's pretty bad news. And then it actually gets worse from there. So of one third of women dating who sleep with guys on the first date, or at least have, 4 out of 5 did not use protection. So guys can kind of think that if they are, if they're going on a date with a girl and she sleeps with you on the first date, the majority of them are not using protection. They are just having unsafe sex with guys on the first date that they meet, which I found pretty horrific. It explains a lot of why STDs are so prevalent. And this is kind of the statistic that I point people to. If anyone ever calls me a misogynist because I wrote a book calling women blenders, I'm going to point them to this stat that there are, like, there's a lot of quite irresponsible women that are out there. And I, in my book, I break down a bunch of different red flags, and I break down a bunch of different, like, objective criteria for men, because my book is for men, to try to filter a lot better so that they aren't, you know, making really bad decisions in the bedroom.
Mm. So obviously, you know, you said 4 out of 5 women were actually on the first date not using, well, the men weren't using protection. Is that right?
Okay, I need to be a little bit more precise. A third of women have had sex on the first date with an online match. And if they did it once, presumably it's, like, happened multiple times. And then of them, 4 out of 5, so the majority, did not use protection.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Well, yeah, that's quite surprising. I'd love to hear from Gergana. What are your thoughts there?
Okay, well, I don't think that this is all very wise, because that's how unplanned pregnancies happen.
Right.
A lot of times.
Exactly. So there's obviously, there's a huge risk involved on both ends. And obviously it's a bit of a, I guess there's numerous reasons why some women obviously feel comfortable on the first day. So maybe, like, Jonathan, do you want to, like, break down some of the key biohacks that guys can, I guess, like, make women sort of feel comfortable? I know you mentioned being more playful and things like that, but what else can guys do to build that rapport and strengthen that?
Okay, so I think I coined a term in the first chapter of the book. I called it the inevitable uncondoming, which is this phenomena that you've probably experienced. I think most people have probably experienced it, which is where typically the unsafe sex, the uncondoming, the not using condoms, that is, like, typically not a very planned out decision. It's usually kind of just a heady kind of moment of passion when it happens. And so I urge people in the book to try to delay that a bit, to try to, you know, make that something that's, like, 6 months into the relationship, ideally, like, after you've been STD tested together, because, yeah, it just results in it results in some horrific consequences for people. Mm-hmm. And so as far as I think it's a really good idea to try to build up a level of intellectual intimacy before that happens. And so there's going to be the kind of women that are probably having unsafe sex on the first date, they are going to be the women that are, there's some insecurity there, and there's some low self-esteem that's driving that sort of behavior, which is totally unfortunate. And what I suggest a little bit further on in the book is that men try to, if men are looking for like a good girlfriend, if men are looking for a woman who might be wife material, which I urge them to do so, because again, it makes your life so much better. It brings so much happiness into your life. It'll make you way, way happier than kind of doing the pickup artist thing. If that's what men are looking for, I urge them to delay sex. To try to delay it until about the fifth or the 10th date. And the kinds of women who have healthy self-esteem, they're going to be totally okay with that.
Right.
And if you're doing dates where you're trying to connect intellectually a little bit more, if you're like spending 3-4 hours having real deep conversations about things, talking about your families, talking about your values, you're going to, over the course of like 5 or maybe 10 dates, you're going to have intimacy on a different kind of level. And what you'll do is you'll filter out the women who are more promiscuous, the women who I call blenders, who are going to, the relationships are going to end up being like a lot of pain, and they're going to have negative consequences, perhaps unplanned pregnancies. The women who are going to have the real low self-esteem, they're going to be, if you don't sleep with them on like the first or second, maybe third date, they're going to eject from the relationship, because they're going to be kind of like confused about what's going on. And you know, the book, I delve really deeply into a bunch of sex hacks. And I want to just urge the men that are out there, the sex that you're going to have with a woman that you are in a monogamous committed relationship with, where you have like, you have that great synergy of like yin and yang going on. And especially if you're doing some of the tantric techniques, the sex that you're going to have is so great. It's going to be like your sex life is just going to be so much better than the sex you're going to be having with women that you're casually dating, that I think it's, I think as far as like hedonism, you're getting, when you're choosing to delay casual sex a bit and put it off, you are choosing a much greater pleasure of such better sex. So I guess I'm trying to disabuse some of the guys that are doing the pickup artist thing, or that are, you know, that are out there like on Tinder, and they're like, you know, having a lot of first date, second date sex, you know, with a condom, with these women on Tinder. It's just when I compare what I have now, it's like a succulent steak dinner compared with a stale Snickers bar of my past.
Yeah, so I was just mentioning, what you're really hinting towards is the idea of delayed gratification, which makes sense. Obviously, like if you're putting off something that you look forward to, it's the actual process of looking forward to the reward and then delaying it. So I sort of want to touch on a little bit on the tantric mindset, because a lot of my listeners is probably first time hearing about the tantric practices. I know one of my friends personally is a huge believer in practices the non-ejaculatory sex, but he's still able to orgasm without ejaculating. So do you want to like touch on some of the other sort of tantric mindsets and practices?
Yeah. So this is something that comes out of the Eastern tradition, and it sounds a little bit woo-woo. A lot of people might disregard this because it sounds kind of woo-woo, but it's a series of physical techniques that you do to stave off ejaculation, for the man to separate the orgasm from the ejaculation, or to at least to delay the ejaculation so that you can have sex for a longer period of time. And, you know, this results in the woman being able to derive a whole lot more pleasure out of it. The average man, I found this statistic shocking also. The average man only lasts 6 minutes.
I've heard that.
In bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't sound very satisfying, does it, babe? So by practicing some of these techniques, you can last longer. If you can last 21 minutes, then you are like statistically, like you're actually doing like pretty good. It's, you know, sex is a funny thing. Apparently most guys are just so awful at it that if you can be like slightly better, women will be really impressed. So the first step to becoming a tantric man is to nofab, is to not look at porn. It's men need to make a decision about whether they want to have a great sex life or whether they want to look at porn, because you really don't get to have both. You need to choose one of those things or the other. So, you know, nofab, I think me and you have maybe, did we talk about this last time?
Yeah, we potentially discussed some of the benefits of nofab. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's fantastic. If you're a single guy, do nofab, and do it for, you know, start by trying to just go for 2 weeks and then try to go for a whole month and then try to go for like 60 or 90 day blocks. And you'll find that you really start to appreciate women. You'll find that you'll have a conversation with a pretty girl, and like your body will just kind of light up, and you'll find like joy in that alone. So that's kind of the first step. But a lot of the nofabbers, if you go on Reddit, a lot of the nofabbers are dogmatically committed to like not touching their own dicks. And what you want to do to develop yourself as a tantric man is you want to do some meditative masturbation. Which sounds crazy, right? Have you tried this, Lucas?
Oh, this is the first time I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, you know, as soon as you get off this podcast, I'm not sure if you have anything else going on. So there's a series of breathing techniques that are described really in depth in. There's two excellent books on this topic that I would urge any biohacker to read, or any man who's a biohacker to read. There's some books for women on Tantra, but there's a book called The Multi-Orgasmic Male. And then there's another book called The Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity. And they detail these diaphragmatic breathing techniques that you do, and they go a little bit deeper than just the box breathing that I think you're familiar with, where what you want to do is they describe these locks that you have in the body. You have several sphincters in the body. One of the sphincters is your anus. Everyone's familiar with that one. And then the other sphincter is the pubococcygeus muscle, which is the muscle that both men and women have. Fun fact, the word cock, it comes from this muscle. pubococcygeus. And so, yeah, so that's the muscle that controls your ejaculations. And it also is the muscle that you flex when you are going pee, when you're urinating, or if you're, you know, holding it in, because you got to, sometimes you got to hold it in, you know. So there's, and then the other sphincter in the body, the eyes are a sphincter. And then there is the, actually the I believe the throat is a sphincter. There's a sphincter there in the throat. And so there's a breathing technique that it takes a little while to get down. It takes a bit of practice where you breathe in and then you lock, you close these sphincters. You flex these sphincters, the anal sphincter, pubococcygeus, and they're in your neck, and then you release those. And so there's, so the, this is a breathing technique that you want to do like 10 to 15 minute meditative masturbation sessions on your own, you know, in private, there with lotion like normal. And you want to practice it on, typically it takes about 20 days. And you want to practice this breathing technique, you know, like just lay down, like turn on a little bit of music, turn on your meditation track, you know, whatever you like to do when you meditate. And you'll do that for, yeah, 10 to 15 minutes a day over the course of about 20 days. And you'll reach a level of competence with the breathing technique. And then at that point, you'll be able to stave off orgasm. And you'll actually experience, probably by yourself and then with a woman, you'll experience more of the full body orgasm, which is where you feel the orgasm, you feel the ejaculation building up, and then you continue to breathe. The other important thing is doing Kegels. You probably know about Kegels. Yeah. I bet you do Kegels.
Yeah, I've had experience with them in the past. Yeah.
So the thing about Kegels is they're a little bit more of a long-term sex hack. You need, for men at least, you need to do them for quite a while before they start to make a difference in your ability to hold back ejaculation. So guys can think about when they go to the bathroom and they are the way you start doing it is you go to the bathroom, you go pee, and actually you want to delay going pee. You want to wait until like you really gotta go, and then you'll have like a lot of pressure built up down there, right? And so then you go to urinate, but then you cut off the stream. You hold it in. And then for like two or three seconds, and then you release the stream, and then you hold it in, and then release the stream, and then hold it in, and then release the stream. Okay. and so this is the exercise of
a military practice.
yeah, and they actually say you should stand on your tippy toes. While you do this. I'm not sure how the standing on the tippy toes makes a difference, but you know, it's what the Taoists developed over thousands of years. So that's what I do. And then you want to do Kegels often. So as a reminder, do a Kegel every time something loads. So we're all dealing with technology all day long. So you're waiting for a website to load, you're waiting for an app to load, do a Kegel, bro. And then over time.
Productivity hack 101.
Yeah. What else are you doing while you're waiting for something to load? And then over time, this builds up that PC muscle so that you can hold off ejaculation. And over the course of 20 days doing meditative masturbation sessions, you'll have this really cool sensation where you feel the orgasm move up into the rest of your body. You'll feel the orgasm move up into your skull, which is actually a really cool feeling. It gives you a lot of kind of creative energy. I would describe it as kind of a nootropic. And yeah. I'm actually not doing this right now with my wife because we want to have a baby. But it's something that I recommend really enthusiastically because you'll have a whole lot better sex. And if you can spike a woman's oxytocin, if you can give a woman more orgasms than she is accustomed to, you're going to really elicit the yin energy out of her. You're going to have a relationship that is pregnant with like really great feminine, tranquil, kind of childish kind of energy.
Mm. Yeah. The one other benefit of oxytocin, actually, I was doing a bit of research on it just personally, from a biohacking perspective, is actually it's a hormone that has a positive feedback loop. So the more that the body makes, like the more the body releases, the more the body makes. Is that the spray or?
Okay. Yeah. This is exogenous oxytocin. I will show it to you. You can continue what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I read more about it. It's like some of the, oh yeah, that's the nasal. Oh, so good. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, this is not nasal. This you just take orally.
Oh, okay. Have you tried it yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've taken it once.
Yeah. And I'm really not sure if it had any effect. We had a date night and then we went out salsa dancing. And so we took it and I don't know if it had any effect, frankly.
Yeah, maybe it's probably the route of administration. I think the nasal spray is probably more effective, but it's definitely on the list of things to try. But as you were talking about some of the Kegels and like delaying ejaculation, there's a bunch of supplements in particular. Have you had experience with Shilajit? I think you've spoken about it before.
Shilajit. Okay, that's one adaptogen I haven't done.
Yeah, well that one there in particular does help with increasing parasympathetic nerve tone on like in the penis. So it actually does dampen and reduce the excitatory response. So stacking the Kegels plus Shilajit, we could make an awesome delayed ejaculation stack. Out of all the other herbs, you found horny goatweed, to be probably the most potent in that regard.
Yeah, it has the effect that I notice the most. It improves erection quality. Mm. You know, alcohol is kind of a double-edged sword in seduction. We all know that alcohol is usually there, you know, alongside sexy times and romance. But there's this, you know, there's this sweet spot with alcohol that if you drink just too much, then it's going to hurt your erection quality. And especially people that are dating, they're going to be like drinking a little bit before making love. And so if you do some Epimedium, that's you don't need to worry about that. And I recommend the powdered Epimedium because Epimedium is one of Epimedium. I did a vlog recently that maybe you want to link to. Epimedium has a bunch of really cool different effects, but it is, you can do a lot of it. You can do like several grams of it and your erections will be awesome. And so the powdered stuff I find is a whole lot better. It's economically, it's a win. And so you'll want to make a pre-coital tea with the epimedium. You'll want to get like a heaping teaspoon of epimedium and just put it in steeped water, and then, you know, mix some honey with it because it doesn't taste all that great. Maybe a little bit of apple cider vinegar, and then you can have that. And epimedium has a similar effects for ladies. It can improve the quality of orgasm and sensation for ladies as well. So yeah, it's a great pre-coital beverage for him and for her.
Yeah, I've had pretty good experiences with honey goatweed in the past. I actually used it for its it down regulates that PDE5 enzyme, like with chronic dosing, which is obviously what Viagra works on. So it's a nice little, you know, blood flow booster. But I sort of want to transition back into some of the things you discussed in your book. And there's one particular topic that I really want to explore, and that is being the nice guy versus being the jerk. So I want to delve into that a little bit more. You know how the jerks get all the guys versus the nice guy is left with nothing? So do you want to explore that a little bit more?
Yeah, that is kind of, that's the, you know, the dynamic that exists within the, you know, that exists between the sexes. You know, unfortunately, at some point in history, one of our female ancestors was most likely, you know, raped by like a Mongol warlord. And so unfortunately, this imbues this like seed of evolutionary psychology where the women just respond a lot better to guys that are kind of jerks. And so, you know, of course we went to, you know, we went to encourage women to, you know, do a lot of like, do like self-knowledge things and do meditation type things so that they can, you know, because we all need to rise above a bit of our evolutionary psychology and be a little bit more like conscious and rational about our choices in life. And it's especially men too. I think men, you know, that's what my book is all about, is about, you know, men trying to, you know, rise above a little bit of these like animalistic impulses that we have that can, you know, drag us into some really bad places in life.
Yeah. So you obviously also mentioned a little bit about seduction can be a powerful tool for personal growth. That was one of the quotes you mentioned in your book. So do you want to, did you mean from a female perspective or from a, like a male perspective or both?
Oh, geez. I have to speak from a male perspective on that.
Sure.
And so what I recommend, because in the book, I don't recommend promiscuity. I'm actually like strongly anti-promiscuity. But I think that the peripheral experiences that men are going to have around seduction are really powerful. So I do urge men who are single to go and do the game thing. I urge single men to like go and find like the real social dynamics group that's in their city, to find wingmen that are in their city, and to go out with those guys and go and approach women, go and do day game, go and do night game. If all the nightclubs and bars aren't shut down because of COVID-19 lockdowns, because the experiences that you can have, particularly sober, the experiences that you'll have sober going out there and approaching women and being direct about it. I'm a big fan of the direct game, as they call it, particularly in day game. those experiences that you have will really shift your, they'll shift your mindset. They will imbue like a real degree of confidence. And I also urge men to do, I urge men to be promiscuous about dating, but not sex. I urge men to do a lot of dates, because when you do a lot of dates, you build up those, you build up the empathy skills, you build up your attentiveness to the subcommunication. And so in my book, I actually urge men, I say, go on dates with women that you might not even sleep with, and go on a date and just try to disagree with her on everything. Your objective is not to get laid. It's not to get a second date. Your objective is just to have fun disagreeing with her, and going out there and having that experience, you know, cross it, getting outside of the comfort zone in that way, where you're not trying to appease a woman, but just trying to disagree with her. That's going to shift your mindset. And that's going to give you a little bit of like a, that's going to give you a little bit of like that bad boy vibe that women are going to respond to, even the nice girls, even the virtuous women like my wife,
she's not virtuous.
She doesn't like that word for some reason.
No, she's not.
They're going to respond positively to that.
So what about, I guess,
and I did not respond.
The challenge for guys when they, you know, they partake in the day game, but they get rejection, and they get rejection after rejection, and then they're, you know, you mentioned the fact that it can help build their confidence, but a lot of guys can, I find, well, from my experience with that sort of practice, is like, after one rejection, your ego's, you know, takes a hit, and then your confidence takes a hit. And so like, how do you go about that?
Yeah, I understand. Day game can be grueling, because you need to approach like 10 girls to get maybe one or two that's going to be receptive to having a conversation with you. What I find makes the biggest difference is doing it with a wingman.
With a wingman or woman? Another woman.
With a wingman.
Okay. It's probably, do you think it'd be more powerful with another woman?
If you could find one that would do that with you. So you'll find, if you do day game with a wingman, you'll be having a lot of fun. The important thing when you go out with a wingman is you want to be joking and just talking shit to each other the whole time. It's going to be, you don't want to be like, you know, you don't want to be all buttoned up about it. And so as you're going out and doing approaches, when you're with a wingman, it's just a lot more fun. Yeah. And you'll be able to sustain those 8 or 9 rejections that you need to take to have a good interaction.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely feel like it does help with the dynamics. Having that playful, cheeky, sarcastic sort of mentality and not being so direct. I've been in that state many times personally, like where I've, particularly at like parties and things like that, where I've use certain nootropics, things like Catawba or certain like GABAergic compounds, where there's literally there's no inhibitions. So you literally, sometimes you just freak out like with what comes out of your mouth, like because you've got literally no inhibitions. So you're able to just freely talk without, you got to be careful there, because then certain things can slip out of your mouth that you might reject.
Yeah, I would like, I've in the past done like Fenibut before going and doing day game, because it is a day game is a, it's a benign, what is it? What do they say? They say that humor is a benign violation of norms. And that's definitely like what day game is, because most guys would not like go up and approach a pretty girl in a cafe and, you know, disrupt her day by, you know, telling her, hey, you know, I thought you looked really pretty and I had to come over and say hi to you. I noticed that you look like you're studying to become a rocket scientist here. Would you take me to the moon? Something like that.
Yeah. What about, you mentioned playing with fire. So I want to sort of talk about some of the signs of, you know, potentially women that are very dangerous in that regard, or like from your personal experiments or experiences.
Yeah. So in the book, I have three major red flags that guys should be quite wary of, which is smoking, drinking to excess, and being a single mother. And if a woman is going to know right away on those three accounts. Typically women will tell you right away if they are a single mother. Women usually don't keep that a secret for very long. And it's usually pretty obvious if someone is, you know, drinking, if someone drinks to excess, or if they smoke. And so if you're seeing two of those red flags, then that's like a sign to eject. But if there's one of those red flags, you want to proceed with caution, and you want to definitely delay sex and delay the inevitable uncondoming.
So what about a little bit on, I guess, something a little bit different, like in terms of setting boundaries when you're dating, and you know, that initial phase when you may just like start dating a woman and then you realize you're sort of in that gray zone where you're like exclusive, but you're not exclusive, but, and like avoiding that jealousy trap sort of thing. So have you had like much experience, or have you delved into that sort of space much?
Okay. So here's one of the points that I make a little bit further on in the book is I address the compromise question. And because compromise is important in relationships, mm-hmm. as we've all heard. But what I urge men is to not be terribly diplomatic and compromising within about the first 6 months of the relationship. And this is going to be a filtering thing where if the man is a bit kind of hard-headed and is kind of arbitrarily stubborn at points, then what's going to happen is if the woman is also kind of stubborn and hard-headed themselves, then it's just not going to work. Then you're just not going to be able to get along together, and you're going to filter that out of your life. But if you're dealing with a woman who's real feminine, who has really nice yin energy, then she's going to kind of just go along with a guy that's hard-headed. And after 6 months, after a year, I do think compromise is important. Me and my wife compromise on things all the time. Mm-hmm. And it results in all sorts of, you know, tranquility. We have a much, much better marriage because we compromise. But I really didn't do that very much the first like 6 months to a year. And yeah, it'll serve as a real filter for the women that are good, that have that like real good feminine energy. Okay, I think my wife wants to interject with something.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Hey, Lucas.
Hey, Grigana.
Okay, I just wanted to say that John kind of compromised on something very big before those 6 months.
He did?
And yes, he did. It was one thing, but it was kind of big for him. And it was to stop being flaky, because he used to be very flaky.
Flaky? In what regard? Like messaging or what?
Yes, exactly. Sometimes it would take him up to 4 days to respond to me. especially after he had told me that he would respond within 45 minutes.
Right. Unforgivable.
Well, clearly worked.
So that was maybe 2 or 3 months into the relationship. And, you know, I thought we were done.
Really? You're going to break it off at one stage?
Yes, because I was totally tired of his flakiness.
Right.
You know, that meant disrespecting my time and me. So we had a serious conversation.
I came into your work. Yes, I surprised you at work.
He came into my work, surprised me at work, and we had a serious conversation. And eventually he said that he was not going to be flaky anymore.
Right.
And he wasn't. He was.
But was Jonathan doing that deliberately at the start? Was it a tactical, like a strategy? Or was he?
Yes, I think so. I think so because a lot of women had been flaky on him before.
Right.
Those Colombian girls, they taught me
and
well
the art of flakiness. He thought that if he was playing hard to get and being flaky, that was going to spike my interest. You know? That he was going to appear more as a lover than as a provider.
Right.
But I got super sick of it because I'm not into mind games like that. Mm. And I told him, you either stop being flaky and you're going to, you know, respect my time just like I respect yours, or we are done.
Right.
And he said, okay. You know, after thinking for like maybe 5-10 minutes, he decided that he was not going to be flaky anymore. And that was something big for him because he had been flaky for 4 years.
Wow.
On people. I even remember he told me that he was being flaky with his own dad. Mm. You so know, he wouldn't...
An inborn personality trait of Jonathan then.
Well, he said that the women, mainly in Colombia, had trained him to be like this. Because they would be like sometimes up to 2 hours late for a date or something.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Or they wouldn't respond to his messages. And
they were such great messages too.
All right.
Interesting.
So, so he thought that was going to work on me, but it didn't. I mean, it produced the opposite effect of what he was aspiring for.
Hmm. Yeah, I wasn't quite culturally acclimatized to Bulgaria, you know?
Yeah. So here, we don't really like flakiness, and it doesn't turn us on.
Right. I think I think that could be a common thing for most women worldwide. They want a man who's going to commit and have that sense of integrity, you know?
What about in Australia?
In Australia, well, it's pretty much the same here. I mean, like most women are into, I actually think most women here are actually quite flaky on the men. It's the other way around. But yeah, it differs. It differs for everyone. There's flaky guys out there as well. So it's like, it's pretty balanced, you know?
Are you flaky yourself?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I'm probably the most reliable guy you'll ever meet.
Look at that hair of his. Of course he's not flaky.
I'm never late. I'm always early. I say what I, you know, I commit to my word. So, and the women that I've dated recently and the one that I'm dating now would know that, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. So she has a keeper on her hands.
Potentially. Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to say. And that happened within the first 3 months. But it was one big thing that he had to compromise on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well.
Okay.
It ended up working out well then, that compromise. So.
Yeah, pretty much. Because otherwise, I would have ejected from the relationship.
So was there any other sort of Any other segments in your book that you wanted to really discuss? Any other key, maybe quotes, things like that?
Yeah. So I have a chapter that goes really in depth on the topic of dating and marrying foreign women, because I think probably almost any single guy has heard, oh, you know, you go to Eastern Europe, or you go to Colombia, or you go to Philippines or Thailand, and the women are like so much better there. And actually there's like vast numbers of men that, you know, travel to try to meet women. There are men that pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to these different agencies that purport to hook like Western guys up with women in Eastern Europe or the Philippines or wherever. Mostly they just scam them. Mostly it's just a big scam. But you know, as you can see, I married a Bulgarian girl and I am really happy living here. And so I did a chapter there, and I guess kind of the message that I want to tell men who are curious about that, who are thinking, you know, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I'll, you know, maybe I might want to get a wife from Eastern Europe or any one of these places, is that the opportunity on that is sunsetting. The forces of globalization are aggressively making everywhere like everywhere else, you know? So typically, so there's four countries. It's really funny. There's four, it's kind of the Pareto principle, I suppose. There's these four countries, Ukraine, Philippines, Thailand, and Colombia. And these four countries get about 90, or it seems like they get 80, 90% of these international conquistadors of love, of guys. I mean, some of these guys are, you know, pretty low class. They're just guys that want to party and get laid, or maybe they're just rank sex tourists. But there's a lot of like genuine, good-hearted guys out there that don't think that they can find a wife or a good girlfriend in Canada or the UK or Australia. And so they go to these four countries. And of course, this is shifting the dating culture in those countries. This is globalizing those countries. And so in that chapter of the book, I list about 30 other countries that are not getting such an influx of, you know, men on international skirt chasing missions that are also countries that have, you know, beautiful women, where the culture is a little bit more traditional and conservative, where men have a real decent chance of finding a woman that they could have a serious relationship with. And so, yeah, that's, I want to, you know, I guess if we can leave men in particular, because I guess that's what my book addresses, if we can leave them with a message, it's, I hope it's just a sense of urgency. In regards to their love lives and in regards to finding a partner in life, because due to all these different social forces, due to how coronavirus has changed the whole world, as years pass, it just becomes harder and harder to get a really great partner in your life.
Mm. Yeah, I can really resonate with a lot of what you said in terms of, what you're really striving to encourage is just developing that really solid connection, because that's ultimately, like, I guess what humans are designed to do. Like we're designed to connect and get that oxytocin boost, and monogamy and, you know, marriage is a strong form of that. So hopefully the blokes and the guys listening in to this podcast do get a chance to check out your book, because it is a fun read. There were some pretty interesting topics in there. So I guess that pretty
much. Yeah, and remind me what city you're in.
I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, I think you're single now, right?
No, he's dating someone.
Oh, you're dating someone. Oh, fantastic. I didn't hear that part.
Single, but dating. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. I wish you the really, the best with that. I think the fact that you're a real good looking guy and that you're in really stellar health, makes
so much hair.
Yeah. Yeah. The hair makes a difference.
And I'd
urge any guys who are listening, if guys are there in Melbourne, then hit up Lucas about, you know, going out and doing some day game. It'll be a blast, I'm sure.
That's great. I love that. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening in. I might just quickly question Jonathan one last takeaway, one little bit of advice that you could give guys entering into the dating scene. What's the number one tip you could give men?
Number one tip. Oh, okay. This is my number one tip. If I gotta come up with one, is to kiss a girl earlier than when you're comfortable with it. I urge men to try to kiss women on the first date. That's what I did with you. It worked out great.
Mm-hmm.
If you are trying to kiss a woman at the earliest possible opportunity, she is not going to put you into the friend zone. She's going to know what you're after. So you'll be on a first date with a girl, or maybe you're just talking with her at a party. You might not want to do this, you know, with a coworker, or with, you know, if you're in class having a conversation. But if you're on a first date, you want to try to sit next to each other. And as soon as she's sort of looking at you and there's a little bit of a lull in the conversation, don't wait until the perfect moment. Don't wait until you've said the perfect, funny, romantic thing. Just try to kiss her as soon as you get a chance. And often she'll reject that. She'll turn her head to the side. And that's totally okay. Mm. You can try again in about 20 minutes. Try about 4 or 5 times. And if you get rejected 4 or 5 times, then that's great, because then you know that she's just not that into you, and you won't waste your time further. So I think that's a good tip.
Yeah. I like that one. I really like that one. There's never going to be a perfect time, and you just have to make the most of what you've got in the moment.
Adas is fortuna huvat, gentlemen.
Yeah. Alrighty, everyone. Well, thanks for listening in to yet another episode of the Boost Your Biology podcast. I'll be leaving links to Jonathan's website. And where can they find the book, Jonathan?
Okay, the book is available for pre-sale on Amazon right now, and it is on my website, limitlessmindset.com. It's $1 cheaper on my website, and I also give people the audiobook if they get it from my website for $8.99.
Terrific. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure. Chatting, I knew it was going to be a fun and interesting episode.
Thank you everyone for joining in to today's episode. For in-depth show notes and lessons learned, visit nofilter.media/boostyourbiology.
This has been a No Filter Media production.
Say what you want. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.